small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room from across the pond to discuss some songs in a topic we call rocking all over the world, please welcome Mr. Ian Beresford. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Pat. How are you? How's all the Rock Solid Nation?
I am good, and I hope they're good also. What time is it for you right now?
So it's 7 p.m., so we're 5 hours ahead.
Just 5 hours. Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah. But we're in the middle of a heat wave here, so obviously everything breaks down in the UK when the sun comes out, you know, so it's a sort of topic of much discussion.
And do you have an air conditioning unit in your home? No.
No. We don't need it for like the one day a year that it's, 30 degrees, so We just have to crack open the window and stay in the shade. Yeah.
And tell everyone exactly where you're from. Even though the Patreon people, we know where you're from, but tell everyone else if we have anyone listening that's new.
Yeah. So I'm from Berwick-upon-Tweed, which is in the Northumberland. So it's basically the last town in England as you head up the East Coast. So if you don't put your foot on the brake, you're in Scotland, basically, when you get to Berwick. So we're like 60 miles north of Newcastle, 60 miles south of Edinburgh. And we're a right mix-up of England and Scotland, basically, so it's quite a confusing place for people. So, and we've been changed hands 13 times between England and Scotland. So, they just kept fighting over us and saying, no, you can have them back, you can have them back. So, there's also a famous myth that we are still at war with Russia. Because of this all back and forward, they used to draft the laws and say, like, England, Scotland, and Berwick-upon-Tweed. So when they declared war with Russia, they said, like, we're declaring war, England, Scotland, Berwick-upon-Tweed. When they signed the peace treaty, they forgot Berwick. So, so in theory, we're at war with Russia. This keeps coming up. It's like, and obviously with the internet, it's sort of taking legs as well. So, yeah, so. But I think Vladimir Putin knows, he better not mess with us. So I think we're okay.
I hope you're okay. So did you do any dog walking today?
So I just had one dog today and we just had a couple of short walks because obviously when the temperature's high, it's, it's not too good for them. But we had some good news because the dog that has been there for 3 years in the rescue kennel, she went out today. So that was, Lola. So that's good news. And the other dog that's been there for 4 years, hopefully she's on the way to her home as well. So we just have to keep our fingers crossed. So, it's been a good week, good days. Yeah.
So, Ian, is this volunteer work that you do, or are you employed by this?
No. So it's totally voluntary. Yeah, the last dog that we had, Ronnie, that she passed away a couple of years ago. So she came from the kennels. It's a local charity as well, so it's not like one of the national charities. So it's really well supported by everybody in this area. So we have dogs, cats, snakes, guinea pigs, rabbits. anything and everything. I just love it. And obviously because I lost our dog, these are like my foster dogs, basically. So I kind of, they're all my sort of foster dogs. And I get called Uncle Ian. So whenever they put these posts up on the kennel site, so everybody knows me as Uncle Ian. So even people that I don't know will say, oh, you must be Uncle Ian because they see me with the dog. So, yeah, it's...
And you walk these dogs, you walk a dog every day?
Pretty much, yeah. If the weather's fine, yeah. I do like it started from a stint on a Thursday night, so they get volunteers on the night time to help because obviously they've got to walk all the dogs within before they close up the kennel. So I've been doing that for like sort of 4 or 5 years. And just on the back of that, then I started to take dogs out as well. So, yeah, so I kind of just keep circulating through the dogs. Yeah, it's... we've got like, beautiful beaches and everything up this way. So it's great countryside to walk everywhere. So, and it gives the dog a break from kennels as well, So it's a good, it's really, really rewarding. Really
no, you're doing good work. And I would assume when you walk in and the dogs see you, they must go crazy. Yeah, oh, is it my turn? Is he here for me?
Yeah, I mean, they can recognize the car, basically. So you kind of, you know, the car, when I pull up in the car, you can hear the dog start barking. And then it's like, so it was quite funny with Lola, because I used to say that she gave me the death stare because she would like sit against the kennel. And if I didn't, so I would like, so when I go in, I go talk to all the dogs, obviously, I can't just go in and take one. And she would like give us the death stare as if to say, you know, am I not going today sort of thing? So, yeah. So like,
that must be difficult when you, because you can't take them all.
No. So you have to, you just take one. I mean, sometimes I might take two in a day, just depending on, you know, I might walk a dog from the kennels rather than Berwick and then bring a dog home as well. But it's, I just love it. I love it.
And it's good for you too, because you're getting your exercise in.
Yeah. I don't know if it's helping anything, but it's I got plenty miles. So yeah, it's like, I mean, I can do, you know, like on a Thursday, because I do the nighttime, I can do like 20,000 steps or something like that. So
wow.
It puts the mileage in. And as I say, you know, if I go down to the beach down the coast, it's like that's probably 4 or 5 miles as well. So it's it's great. I really enjoy it.
And then that gives you also time to listen to your music?
Oh, yeah, so I've got I'm permanently got the AirPods in, so I listen to podcasts. So Thursday's good because we've got Mike's podcast comes out tomorrow, Rock Solid comes out tomorrow, so yeah, they'll be on the playlist as well. And you can concentrate on them because you're just like walking and, you know, you're not just distracted by anything else.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I'll like walk along and I'll just start laughing and I'm thinking, I hope nobody sort of, they'll be like, what the hell is he laughing at? So that's quite why I like to go down the beach, because there's nobody there. But honestly, I crack up sometimes with some of the stuff, but yeah, it's...
Well, yeah, if you're walking around cracking up, people think you're a crazy person.
It's true, yeah.
Let me ask you this. So one of my new friends here in North Carolina, Michael Johnson, he listens to the podcast now. And the first time he listened to one of the Patreon episodes, he came into work the next day and he's like, hey, you people listen to your show from all over the world. And I said, that's true. I mean, because he kind of caught me off guard, because I don't think about it that much. But he's like, yeah, there were all these different accents and people from all over the place participating in the episode. And I said, I don't think about it that much. But yeah, I guess you're right. And so I want to ask you, when did you start listening and how did you find the Rock Solid podcast?
So I think it was pretty much when COVID started, sort of like March, April 2020. So at that point, I then worked from home. So I used to be an accountant. I used to work in an office at a factory about 15 miles from Berwick. So when COVID came in, obviously everybody was like, just work from home. So I was obviously looking for things to sort of listen as well as work. And I think I actually searched on like Kiss podcast. That's kind of, I'm sure the first one was like one of the Kiss, you know, like we used to do the albums.
Yes, yeah.
You would like talk the albums or something like that. I'm sure that was one of the first ones. But yeah, so that's like six years, and then
wow.
I think I became a Patreon pretty quick. So I had your big spreadsheet, so I would like go through that and like find all these different, you know, episodes to listen to on top of all the ones that came out every week. So I listened to lots and lots of the back episodes, and obviously I look for the ones like with Mike Murray. You know, because they're
right.
Always good.
Sure. The classic lineup.
So on. Yeah.
And I call that the classic lineup. And then, you know what? We didn't get through the Kiss catalog yet. I need to revisit that with Kyle and Christian.
Yeah.
And we need to do some Sonic Boom and some Psycho Circus pretty soon. So I'm going to look into that. Thanks for reminding me of that. All right. So. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say I love the one about, I think it was the Crazy Nights one where I think it was Kyle was saying we're either climbing up things or setting them on fire or something like, you know, like just taking the Mickey out the lyrics. It was like
well,
you know, as you say, you go through the lyrics and they're just horrendous, but yeah.
I always say with Kiss, I love Kiss, but they suck. I say that with affection. So I'm looking at your list of songs, and the topic today you've seen concerts all over the world.
Yeah. Probably more by happenstance than and sort of like, you know, planned. Well, some of it was planned and some of it was happenstance. So I just thought it was quite a good thing to maybe talk about for something different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of these has been like holidays. Some of these has been trips. Some of these have been because through my work, I did quite a lot of travel. So I kind of got over to Australia, New Zealand, as well as lots of places in Europe. And so at the firm I worked for, we were part of General Mills, which was Pillsbury before that. Mm-hmm. So they're in Minneapolis. So I went to Minneapolis a couple of times. And yeah, so that was kind of how it all sort of happened, basically. And it, when I was going on holidays, I would basically look, you know, in terms of what might be there. So the first time I went to the States was 2000. So we did San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, New York. And I remember Iron Maiden were playing at Madison Square Garden. It was the first tour back with Bruce Dickinson.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I think I looked up, but there was like literally one ticket left. And then by the time I thought about it, it had gone. So, yeah, so I didn't get to that one. So so I've never been to Madison Square Garden. That's probably still one that's on my tick list. But yeah.
Yeah, I was just there, and I was just at Madison Square Garden for the first time last year to see The Who. Their last tour. So yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to have stuff on your bucket list. And and I've only ever seen two concerts out of the country. And that was 3 years ago when I went to the UK for Wimbledon. And we had planned on seeing Billy Joel in Hyde Park with Daryl Hall, my nephew Casey and I. And then when we got there, we were talking about Kiss, and it just happened that they were playing in the O2 Arena that week. And so we got to go to that too. So, I mean, sometimes it just works out. You get lucky.
Yeah. So I skipped that tour because that was like the third last UK tour.
Right.
So because it was 2019 was actually that was the last tour. Then they played Donington, which was said would be the last ever UK date. And then they played that tour that you went to see. So it was just, you're just flogging the horse here, sort of thing.
Flogging the horse. They keep telling us this is it. And then it keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to the O2 though. I've seen Bon Jovi there because he played like 25 nights or something in about 2010.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was good. Again, that was on the back of a work trip. So when I was done for work, of course, he didn't sell all the tickets, so they were like half price. You know, like they were kind of trying to get rid of them. So it didn't cost too much. But that was a great concert. It's a great arena as well. Yeah,
it really is. So our first artist today, you've seen him in Dublin in 2001 and in Melbourne in 2005.
Yes. So Steve Earle. The first time I saw Steve was actually in Glasgow. He did the Copperhead Road tour. That was about 91. And then through work, we used to do like in September, go away on weekends, like a big group of us. So we went to Dublin in September 2001, and Steve was playing at the, I forget the name of the theatre, but it's like the Olympia, Dublin Olympia, which is like, you know, one of these 100-year-old theatres. So it was a good chance to get along and see that gig. And Steve's, he's a great a chameleon because he keeps changing the things he does. So he came out like with a hip hop album, and then he does like Irish music and then jazz music. And but this was when he was still kind of doing his guitar, country sort of style. In Melbourne, he played the Railway Hotel, which is a quite a famous venue in Melbourne. And that was when he was, I think his support act was his wife, but that was about his fifth wife, I think. So, and it was funny because the guys that were backing them were a band called the Yahoos. And I'd seen them in Newcastle about 4 months earlier, backing Dan Baird, who was in Georgia Satellite. So when I went into the venue, it was like, that's those guys that played with Dan Baird. So obviously they sort of tag out the different acts. But yeah, he's a great artist. The last time I seen him, it was like a kind of half of his normal stuff and half was this kind of trip hop stuff. So he's quite a challenging act for his fans. But he's got a good catalog.
And what song did you pick for us today?
So I picked Someday. This is off one the sort of first two albums I got. It's either called Exit or Guitar Town. And what I try to do with these songs is just pick songs that were about travel or something, or, you know, get in the way kind of thing. So this is sort of a song about that. So, yeah.
All right. So let's hear a little bit of Someday by Steve Earle. I like that one a lot.
Yeah. So is Steve on your radar, or is he just somebody that you've not?
You know what's funny? He's on my radar because so many of my friends like Steve Earle and tell me I should listen to him. And I was just checking when that song was playing. He might have just played like literally 2 miles from the house.
Right.
And I should have gone.
He's a never-ending tour. So he's in the UK in August. I think he's supporting the Water Boys because they're sort of playing some big venues, and he's the support act. So there's a chance we might get to that up in Glasgow.
He was just in Winston-Salem 6 days ago. So
all right,
I missed it. Okay, next time.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, I just talked about this gentleman because I've seen him many times.
Yeah.
Is Billy Joel. And how many times have you seen Billy Joel? Just this one time?
Just this one time. So this was when he was touring with Elton John. He did those tours when he did Back to Back, I think it was called. Yes. So this was in Boston 2002. So basically after 9/11, you know, they were basically giving flights away. So paid like £200 or something to fly to Boston in the January. I took my dad on that trip. And that was back when you still had the booths where you would have to go and buy the ticket. So again, I think it was just by chance, maybe, you know, went to the booth in the city centre, and it was like, oh, Elton John and Billy Joel, that's got to be a good sort of concert. And it was at the garden, yeah. So I think Billy opened, and then Elton came on, and then they sort of did the joint set.
Yes.
But you know, you think of the catalogue of those, it was just the whole concert was just fantastic. It was just, everything was banger after banger, basically, you know. It was just, yeah. And of course, that was when they were still talking, I think, so they were like taking the mickey out.
Yeah, they weren't arguing. Yeah, these two artists, Billy Joel and Elton John, they have so many songs that they can't possibly play them all, but whatever they play is going to leave you more than satisfied.
Yeah. One of the memorable things was they kicked into AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long, and this guy came up, but it was like the roadie. It was the roadie's birthday or something, and this guy had pipes, he could sing, so they sort of did this total AC/DC rocking version of You Shook Me All Night Long, and it was just, that was a quite good interlude as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, when I saw Billy Joel at Dodger Stadium, Axel came out, and I believe they sang Highway to Hell. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So your song from Billy Joel is?
Moving Out. So obviously it's Moving Out, Going Somewhere. Yeah. I mean, again, there's just so many great Billy Joel songs, but this is the one that kind of fit the bill, basically. But yeah.
Yeah, this is a good one. Here we go.
Is that all you get for your money? And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, my Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
All right, moving on to Billy Joel's touring partner at the time, Mr. Elton John. Was Elton in good voice in 2002?
Yeah. So he still had the vocals there. I first saw Elton in 1989. He played Edinburgh Playhouse, which is like a 3,000 seat theatre. So this is when he was kind of in his down part of his career. It was Red Strikes Back was the album. And it was just, again, you know, a great, he was obviously playing songs off that album as part of the show, but it was just a, fantastic show. That was when he had the terrible, like, white hair.
He's
had terrible hair quite a lot, but that was a particularly bad one. And again, but his talk on stage is great, you know, because he's never left his roots behind, sort of thing. He sort of takes the Mickey out of himself as well. So, yeah, that was good. And yeah, and then I saw in Vegas when he did that Red Shoes sort of
Red Piano
residency. Red Piano, yeah. So that was obviously had all the screens and the videos and all that sort of thing. And I think even then you could still sort of carry a tune. So that was obviously a much more hits show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, so it was just kind of short and banged them out. And so that was, that was good. So that's three times at Elton. But I say the Boston one was, that was great.
And
Philadelphia Freedom. Yeah.
Philadelphia Freedom's the one we picked.
Yeah.
Even though you never saw him in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I've been there, though.
Here we go. So people that have listened to this show for a while know my Elton John Las Vegas story. I'll tell it again real quick. For my birthday, my wife, she books a hotel in Vegas. We get the airfare. She gets the tickets. She surprises me with this Elton John concert. We fly there. We land. We go have a nice dinner. Then we head over to Caesar's Palace. And when we get to Caesar's, there's some guys standing out there with flyers. And they said, "Are you here to see Elton John tonight?" Very excited. I said, "Yes." And they hand us the flyer that tells us that Elton has canceled the show because he's sick. So I didn't see Elton until his most recent final tour, and still good, but not in the best voice that that I would have liked to see, but still great. But that's the story. Yeah. Okay, so this next band you've seen many times. You've listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 here, is that everyone, or have you seen them more than that?
Yes, so I've seen them in the UK. The first time in the UK was again Edinburgh. That was 1984. That was the Lick It Up tour. That's when Gene had the most horrendous wig.
So
when he came on, I didn't even think it was Gene Simmons because he just looked so, you know, and then I saw 88 because on the Crazy Nights on the back of that, they played Donington. And they did quite well. So they added some dates. So it wasn't really a Crazy Nights tour, but they played a few dates. And that was probably one of the loudest gigs I've been to because it was just like the first song, you just couldn't even tell what the song was. It was just so loud.
Oh, wow.
And it was just painful. And then I went over to the States. So that was this was the tour 2003 when they played with Aerosmith. And that was the one when they had to get Peter Criss back in the band because I think the contract said that they had to have at least three members of Kiss.
Yes. Yeah. They had to have three members of Kiss at some venues.
Yeah.
That's hysterical. Like, I feel like at that point, is when Peter Criss has some negotiating power. Like he's like, you got to have me or Ace. So you got to give me $1 million for the show. I mean, that's when these guys should have really laid down the law. Otherwise, they'd have to cancel the show.
Yeah. So the Dallas one, that was part of the state fair. That was the Smirnoff. It's like when you've got those amphitheater places with the big roof. So that was there. So that one, I was on the lawn. San Antonio, I was under the that was the Verizon, which I think's closed now. That one, I was underneath the roof. That was loud as well. And funny enough, the guy in front fell asleep during the gig. So I don't know how he it was just so loud. I had like the foam me up plugs in because it was like even with that it was loud.
Wow.
And then in Houston, it I was literally at the back of the covered part, and we had like this thunderstorm, so it was like standing in the shower for like about 40 minutes. So my clothes were still wet when I got back to the UK.
Oh my
and,
god!
That's where Peter. I don't know if he did it deliberate, but he did. He sort of said like, you know, after he sang Beth, he said like, "Thank you, Dallas." And of course, it was everybody started booing in there.
Oh my god!
And then Paul was like, "Yeah, Peter was joking." So.
Let me tell you something. He knows we're in Houston. He's joking, people.
Yeah. So when it was raining, you know, Paul was doing that, like, you know, we're with you, people, even though, you know, we're in the dry, but you're getting soaked, but, you know, we're with you, sort of thing.
All his crazy stage pattern. My God.
And in 2010, Paris, I kind of managed to get my wife along to that. I sort of under, you know, false circumstances. So, yeah, we'll go to Paris for a few days, and then just by chance, Kiss were playing.
Just by chance.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And we got lost on the way back because I had to get the tram back to where the hotel was, so we sort of ended up. I thought we're never going to get back, but we did in the end. And then 2012, this was the tour with one of your favourite bands, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
So they played Holmdale, which I think is Dave Festini's home ground, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then Long Island, that was Jones Beach Arena. That was a fantastic venue. It's right on the coast, right? And that there was like, it was really windy. So basically the curtain blew off before they came on. So they sort of like walked. They said like, we're still going to do it. So they walked out, climbed on the little, you know, platforms, went up into the rig and then came down again as if, without the curtain flying. And then Hartford, that was like three gigs in 4 days. Yeah, so that was
wow.
So you kind of, and you know, they played the same pre-gig music, so you knew exactly when they were going to be coming in on and so on. But it was great. And of course, it was probably the same set list every time, more or less. But let's see, you know, Kiss get lots of panniers, but I love them, sort of thing. So
yeah, I mean, they do put on a great show. The final tour, I scored some free tickets to the Hollywood Bowl show, and I took a guy that I worked with, Bruce, who's from New York, and he had never seen Kiss. So so I'm like, well, he's going to love it. He's never seen them. He's going to love it. And of course, I'm watching it, and I'm seeing all the mistakes, and Paul didn't sound that good that night. Gene was great. Yeah. But when we left the show, he said, that was the best concert I've ever seen.
Well, uninitiated, because it's beyond the show, isn't it?
It is.
It's just the visuals and the effects, and you couldn't go wrong with it. But Paul's voice, the last couple of tours, it was terrible.
Yeah, but thankfully when I saw them at the O2 Arena in 2023. Paul was great, and I was really looking because I'm like, they're backing tracks, but it did not seem to be. It seemed like he had a great night. Yeah. So you picked a song that's actually one of the studio bonus tracks on Kiss Alive 2, and it's called Rockin' in the USA. I love this song, even though the lyrics are kind of funny at times. the rhymes are kind of funny, but this is Gene on vocals. Here we go.
And friends really had the chance.
to England too. There wasn't much to do. One thing I know is true. What I would rather do.
Okay, so Ian, I have a couple questions for you. First of all, when you go to Paris to see them, your wife goes to the show with you?
Yeah. So I kind of twisted her arm to come along and just sort of see them for that one time. And I think she didn't mind it. It was probably too loud. You know, everything's always too loud when it comes to music with her. But yeah, sure, I think she enjoyed it. It was. That was where I found one of the strange quirks about the French. So the hotel had a swimming pool, but you couldn't use the swimming pool unless you had like the what we call budgie smugglers, you know, like little wee. So I had like Bermudas and
like a tiny speedo.
Yeah, you couldn't go in the swimming pool unless you had a speedo.
What?
It was like, what? I'm not joking. That was the rule. So I had to just sit on the side of the pool with my legs because I had
strange rule. Why would you have a rule like that? And what about the women? What were they allowed to wear?
Well, they were fine. Yeah, it was just the men.
All right. That seems very weird. And my second question is, of all the shows you've seen, is there someone on your bucket list, someone you have not seen yet?
I've never seen Paul McCartney, so I'd probably quite like to see him.
Me too.
But the trouble these days is the ticket prices, because I just look at ticket prices and I just think I'm not going to pay that. And the other problem is people go to gigs as events now. It's not always just a concert. So you get the people that are talking, the people that go back and forward to the bar. It's not like they're there for the concert. They're just there to put on Instagram that they were there at the concert.
Yes, sort of thing.
So.
Yeah, it's hard. It's not as enjoyable sometimes as you'd like it to be.
Yeah. So. I kind of slipped up because I think I was down in London when Paul was playing Earl's Court about 20 years ago. And I sort of thought, I think it was sold out, but I thought I could go along and try and get a ticket tout sort of thing. But I didn't do it. But because again, his catalogue's, are just amazing. But he's probably the main one.
I mean, if he comes through anywhere close this again, I might have to just pull the trigger and spend the money because he's our biggest living rock star. Mick's around, and, there's people still around, but still Paul McCartney, he's number one, really. I mean, so
yeah.
All right. So far, other than Steve Earle, I've seen all these people, including this next gentleman, Steve Miller. Tell me about Steve Miller.
So on the back of the trip to Kiss for the Texas, I went back when my wife was up for a holiday. So we did the sort of similar places. And we went to the Houston Rodeo because that's in March time. This was in March. And so that was quite interesting. So we kind of watched the guys doing all the, riding on the back of the bulls and all that. And then there was like horse dressage and just pig racing. sort of typical kind of... sort of state fair stuff, and then basically they sort of like shoveled up all the horse shit off the arena, then they put the stage in the middle of it. But this was like literally within about half an hour, so that they just kind of finished the rodeo show, and then they just somehow they assembled the stage, put Steve on it, and it was a revolving stage because obviously that was
you could
play it all. Yeah, it was a revolving stage, and he just sort of kicked off, and again Steve's not really a big act in the UK, but he's got a great, he's got a great set list.
Yeah, he does. Great catalog.
Yeah. And the thing I love about US concerts is everything's so organized. So you come out the concert and you're like on the interstate in like 5 minutes. Whereas, in the UK, somebody plays Nebworth and people are still sitting in the car park 5 hours later because there's like one country lane that everybody has to go down. So we were back in the hotel the other side of Houston in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
So that was great. So this is Jet Airliner against one of my.
All right. In keeping with our travel theme. Yes. Jet Airliner. I love this one too.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
karaoke version.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on. What is this version that I have? There's no, where are the lyrics? That's crazy. All right. I apologize.
I won't sing them because I'm a terrible singer.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what is this version? This is the version I pulled from my iTunes and I set the time code and everything, and this is not.
Yeah, I was thinking that I had zero for the start because the vocals come in pretty quick, and I'm like, yeah, this is a quite
I have no idea what just happened. All right, some type of glitch, but instrumental jet airliner. All right, okay. Sorry about that, everybody.
No
especially
problem,
especially you, Ian. So, does your wife like the music you like?
No.
No. Okay. So have you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Some of it, but she doesn't like, you know, rock music and things like that. So we have the classic thing where in the car, like the volume goes up and then the volume goes down and then the volume goes up. And one of the things I used to do was because she used to start work before me, and I would like put the radio and turn the volume when I shut the car down, turn the volume full, so she'd get in the morning. It would be like Metallica or something like.
You're mean.
Just to wind her up. But she likes, more poppy kind of things, you know,
okay.
More sort of pop music. But yeah, she wouldn't like, Aerosmith and things like that. As I say, tolerated Kiss, but she wouldn't like say, oh yeah, put some Kiss on, sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah, totally different.
And have you gone to concerts with her that she likes?
So we're kind of, there's a bit of a trade-off there. So, I'll look for things in there that I think, that she'll enjoy. So we did, like, one of those 70s revival. Well, in typical, hype fashion, it was called Once in a Lifetime. So it was like some big acts from the 70s, and they did Once in a Lifetime about 4 years in a row. So it wasn't really Once in a Lifetime. But that was like, Bay City Rollers, David Essex. Leo Sayre, I think, was on that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So we went to see Leo Sayre in Glasgow a couple of years ago, and he was just amazing. He still got it as well. So that was kind of, again, I sort of think, well, she liked that. I mean, I like Leo Sayre, but
Leo Sayre, a friend of the show. I was.
That episode, you did actually listen to that episode twice. It was a fantastic episode.
Well, I was, he was fantastic, and I was honored to be able to interview him. He's a legend, in my opinion.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He's got so many great stories. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, so he's doing the last ever tour this year, but which I think it will be your last ever tour.
Mm-hmm.
So because he lives in Australia, but again, his set list, like I always say, in the '70s, everybody had that album with was it Endless Flight? There was like a couple of his albums that everybody owned. Well, my parents owned effectively, but yeah, there. I think there's a Kiss connection there because I'm sure. Vinny Poncia produced some of his albums.
Yes.
So that was strange mix up there. But yeah, it was
for sure.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Aerosmith, Permanent Vacation. Love that song. Yeah. You've seen them quite a few times. What was the
that first 3 days, that was the Kiss tour. So obviously Aerosmith closed. They closed the shows for that tour. And it was good because I knew the Sweet Emotion was the last song, so that's when I kind of hit the exit to get to the to get to the car park. But that was the Honkin' on Bobo tour, and in the UK, honking means something else. It means terrible, and I think it probably applied because I think that album got a bit of a bad reputation, sort of thing. But yeah, and then Boston. They used to do this thing in the newspapers in the UK where you could collect vouchers. So you collected like 30 vouchers and then you could get a free flight.
Oh, wow.
So, so this was on Iceland there. So I did that. I collected the vouchers, got a free flight. So you travel via Iceland, you go to Reykjavik and then across to Boston. So they were playing 2005 at the Garden, and the support was Lenny Kravitz. So, a great lineup. And Steven Tyler's going to be one of the best frontmen ever. He's just so, he just has it. He's like, if you had to sort of say to somebody, this is like one of the perfect kind of frontmen in the band, I think he's just like totally cool and I don't know. He was just great frontman. But the first time I saw them again, that was at the Newcastle in 1989. So the album Pump. So this was like a 2,000 seat theatre. So again, it was like, you know, you go from like a five rows from the back, from the front in a 2,000 seat theatre to like, you know, the US arenas. And I remember because Stephen said, he says, we used to like rehearse in the venue about this size when we were starting off. And it was just fantastic to see, you know, that was when they were like hitting a stride, you know, after coming back from all the drugs and all the divorces and fights and everything. But
quite a comeback for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great album as well, Permanent Vacation. It sort of, put them right back into the mainstream.
Yep, and here we go.
Yeah.
I also saw the Aerosmith tour when Lenny Kravitz opened, and he's a perfect opener for them too.
Yeah. I mean, rocking stuff. He's cool as well, isn't he? He's sort of,
he's really
kind of
cool.
Got that guitar cool.
Yeah, he is really cool. Yeah. And he's a 62-year-old man. He looks amazing. Crazy. I don't even understand. Okay. Now this next artist is one that people in the States, you really need to know your stuff to know who Jimmy Barnes is, of course, front man for Cold Chisel and
a
big success around the world as a solo artist. Tell me about Jimmy Barnes in concert. How's he?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, he's got the voice that he's like Brian Johnson on steroids. I mean, how he sort of still sings the way he does is just, out of this world. I've seen him a couple of times in the UK. So, because the great thing is he comes to the UK and he's playing like a club, kind of, well, you know, like a 500, 700 venue. So we saw him twice in Newcastle. And he sort of came on, he says, this is supposed to be like an acoustic-y kind of show. He says, but like, fuck that sort of thing. We're just going to rock out. So he just went flying into his normal set sort of thing. I think I first got into him was Freight Train Heart, because that was when they were, I think that was his sort of big push on international.
Yes.
That was like an American sounding album as well, I guess. But, you know, lots of great tunes on that. And then he had Heat, I think, and then he just kind of faded back out again.
Yeah.
So I was 2005, I was down in Australia on a work trip. So the General Mills, they had three plants in Australia. So I was helping them with a computer system into start off, basically. And obviously that's their summer. So you get all these acts are down in like Australia in like November, December, January. So I looked up internet and I got, you know, Jimmy Barnes is playing at this. It was kind of like a casino place just on the outskirts of Melbourne. So went along to that, and of course he just sort of rocked out, and he was great. And
this album, Freight Train Heart, he's working with members of Journey. He's got Desmond Child is producing and writing songs, and Jim Balance and Jolynn Turner, and Neil Sean, Randy Jackson, all these guys. This was the big push to try to really break him through in the States.
And he had the kind of macho cover. He doesn't look that good in person, but he did sort of look quite sort of hunky on the cover
he
as
did.
Well.
It was, he does.
Yeah,
yes.
So that was kind of part of it as well. And the good thing about that trip was I could get a lot of the CDs and DVDs that you couldn't necessarily get over here, sort of thing. So I remember coming back with like a big pile of like all of his soul. He did all the soul albums and things like that, and the sort of live DVDs. But just a fantastic. Fantastic artist, and Good song, Driving Wheels.
Here it is. Makes me want to listen to that album right now.
that's one of those albums that's got, it's sort of top to bottom, it's pretty much great tunes. Some great. I was just thinking, I wonder if this was on the back of the Lost Boys, because he was on a couple of the Lost Boys soundtrack, wasn't he, with NXS and...
Yeah, with NXS. What was that
before
song?
Good Time Tonight.
Yeah, Good Time Tonight.
So that was maybe the first, but he was sort of got a bit more of a... outside Australia presence, and then on the back of that, they sort of thought we could maybe do something. But yeah, a fantastic artist.
Well, he's done okay in his own right all over the world. So I think he'll be fine without America. So this next artist, I've seen this artist in concert, John Fogerty, and the song you chose when I didn't own this song, so when I went to find it, there were a bunch of different versions. I'm not sure if I got the correct version, but we'll hear it anyway. But tell me about when you saw John Fogerty.
Yeah, so this was that work trip. So I think I arrived in Melbourne on the Wednesday, and he was playing a place called the Palace Theatre in St Kilda on the Friday. So it's just like, it's on the sort of coastal, the beach part of Melbourne. So again, I thought, I've got a good chance to catch. Cause I think he was then going to be playing one of those big festivals. They have like... Day on the Green or something, to play like a big outdoor in Melbourne and Sydney. So he was sort of down to play that as well. But the thing I loved about this show was Kenny Aronoff on the drums. I think he's probably the best drummer I've ever seen. Like, he's just amazing. You could just watch Kenny Aronoff, basically, you know, never mind the rest of the gig. So that sort of, that lineup was just fantastic. And then I saw him. He did a Vegas residency in 2016. So that's 2016 was the last time I was in the US. So that was a good chance to... Obviously, that was a bit more of a... Not a showbiz show, but it was all the hits kind of thing. But he didn't have Kenny Aronoff for that. So that was a bit of a letdown. But it was... again, his cat... You know, the whole, you look at the set list of that show, it's just like everything's a classic, basically. So, the thing about this song, Rocking All Over the World. So we have a band called Status Quo, who I think they had a number one with this song. So everybody in the UK knows this song, but I think it was on his 74 album or something like that. And if you go back, this was the song that opened Live Aid in Wembley.
Oh, wow.
That was, like, that was the sort of, well, Rocking All Over the World. That was a great song. it's a great song. So we'll see what version comes up.
All right, here we go. Fingers crossed it's a good one and that it has, it's not karaoke. This version sounds so rough. Like, I almost thought it would sounded like a demo.
Yeah. No, that sounds like the, I know the Status Quo version. So that's the one I had to go back and listen to the Fogerty one. But yeah, the Quo version's like, it's like one of those, so, you know, your classic rock radio, that's the one that's always going to be getting played in the UK.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah.
And I saw, I saw Fogerty in 2005 at the Hollywood Bowl. He was touring with John Mellencamp.
Right.
And Fogerty opened. But yeah, Fogerty had Kenny Aronoff on drums.
Yeah, yeah.
No longer with Mellencamp. And then Mellencamp's drummer was not as good as Kenny. He's just not as good as Kenny's the best. I've seen Kenny with Mellencamp back in the day and then with Fogerty. And then I saw Kenny tour a couple times with Melissa Etheridge. And I asked her when I interviewed her, why wasn't Kenny with her anymore? And she said, I can't afford to have Kenny.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, that'll be it. Yeah, it's the money, isn't it? So he's so much in demand.
Yeah, he's one of the best, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this next band finally got back together and did a tour last year. Did you get to see that tour?
No, because, again, they had the crazy, you know, the tickets were just like 500 million people were trying to buy a ticket, and then they... people were sat in the queue for hours, and then when they did get the chance, it was like £600 because they had the dynamic pricing on it. So I just, I didn't bother with it, basically. Because again, it's people going along to these shows to be, it would have been fantastic. I've heard, you know, the gigs were great and so on, but it's just, it's not my thing now. I saw this band at Newcastle as well in the UK. I'm not very keen on outdoor shows as well, to be honest, because the UK, you can't rely on the weather. It's the one thing.
Yeah,
so,
true.
You know, standing in the piss and miserable. And the trouble is, like Oasis, you get the kind of knobheads go along as well, like, you know, the kind of football hooligan thing. Which I listened to Murray was talking about that when he went, and he even had them in the US sort of thing. So I think, you know, chucking the beer and all this sort of stuff, and I just think, oh no.
And but let me get this straight, Ian. The term is knobheads.
Not knobhead, yeah, like dickheads.
Okay, that's dickhead. Like,
yeah, dickhead in the US, yeah.
All right, excellent. Okay, so this is Oasis. A kid I work with, he's 22 years old. Oasis is his favorite band. He got to go with his dad to New York, I think New York, and saw them on this tour. And it was just like a religious experience for this kid. He just loved it so much. So, So this is Half the World Away from Oasis. Here we go.
I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty, and I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. And when I leave this island, I book myself into a soul asylum, 'cause I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. So here I go, still scratching around in the same old hole. My body feels young, but my mind is very old.
Wow, that's a great song.
Yeah, I'm just going to see what. So that was Melbourne, and one of the things I remember about that show was I thought I'd get a taxi to the. So the venue was like this kind of really old wrestling arena from like the 50s. So it was just like inside, it was like an oven. It was just, you know, not made for gigs at all. But the guy in the taxi, he wasn't quite sure. And then there was like more and more drunk people. And I thought, well, I sort of said, well, I think we're getting towards the venue because there's more and more drunk people in the street, sort of thing. And then, you know, Noel Gallagher's always quite confrontational. So this was just, I know you're not a big cricket fan, but this is just after England beat Australia at the cricket. Because they play for the Ashes, so they play Australia like every 2 years. They come to the UK and play against England, and then they go down there. And he said before one of the songs, he says, just imagine like the England captain holding up the Ashes just to like wind the crowd up. And of course, everybody was booing, sort of thing. And I think it was Don't Look Back in Anger was the song, but he was just, you know, doing his typical Noel kind of widen everybody up. But yeah, it was a great gig, but probably one of the hottest ones I've been in. It was just it was just unbelievable. Yeah, but it was good getting a good chance to see a band in a different place, you know. So
yeah, very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
How many concerts do you feel you've seen in your life? Do you know?
I mean, it's going to be into the thousands, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I've been, so the first concert I went to was Rainbow, July 1981. So this is the 45th year that I've been going to concerts. So, you know, if you get to, I don't know, 20, 30 concerts a year sort of thing. So, yeah, it's going to be over 1,000, I think, yeah.
Wow.
But
and
I, was, I was, but,
who was singing for Rainbow in 81?
Was that, that was Joel and Turner, who's okay. a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. And then, and you still go to concerts.
Yeah, yeah. So I still, yeah, still go. And, but probably like, again, smaller level ones, because I'm not paying like, you know, £150 yes. to sort of see a band, that sort of thing. But I try, yeah. So I try and get to a few concerts each month if I can. So as I say, we're 60 miles to Edinburgh and Newcastle. So they're the sort of two places that we can go to if any. Even Glasgow is like an hour and 45 minutes, so it's not too far. So we kind of keep an eye on who's playing it. But I always find it amusing because when an act brings out dates for a tour, then somebody will always say, like, why aren't you playing here, kind of thing. So,
right,
you know,
right.
They're playing 30 places, and it's like, well, I've always had to travel 60 miles, and then these people are complaining because they have to travel, like, 15 miles. So it's a bit of a...
yeah, it's
ridiculous. Keep everybody happy. You know?
Yeah, you can't please everyone. Let me ask you about, have you ever been to the Red Rocks venue?
Oh, yeah, so I think that's coming up.
Oh, it is? Okay.
I've been to Red Rocks.
Never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Never mind what I said.
Yeah,
yes, it is coming up. I'm stupid.
Yeah.
All right. So you saw, I think we have to call them the Chicks now.
Yeah, I mean, I still call them the Dixie Chicks, but yeah, they've been the Chicks for, it was about, 10, 5 or 6 years maybe, I think. Yeah.
How did you discover them? Were they big where you live?
Not really. So we used to have a good radio show on, I think it was Radio 1 on a Saturday afternoon, who kind of played, they weren't playing the charts, they were playing like, you know, other acts sort of mm-hmm. thing that were like, I think it was Wide Open Spaces was the album. That was kind of the first introduction to them. And because I remember I had that tape in the car for like, I had like one tape in the car. One side was Wide Open Spaces and the other one was something else. It just kind of just kept going back and forward over a few years. And then, because back then they didn't really play the UK as well. That was the other thing. And then when they did play the UK, they got like into a right shitstorm, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
With George Bush. So, you know, because obviously Natalie Maines, she's a sort of like a bit like Noel Gallagher. She sort of speaks and then thinks later sort of thing. But
yeah, she's not ready to play nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, so I've got like, I bought all the albums and then I went to, 2006, they were doing the Taking the Long Way tour. So that was, I think that was the one that, that was after the controversy. So they were kind of off country radio by then, but they were still getting a bit of, get a publicity. So, and that, on the back of that, as I said, through General Mills, I went to visit one of the plants in Georgia just to sort of see what it was like, kind of thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to see the Dixie Chicks. And the guy was like, don't say it. Down the South, they don't like the Dixie Chicks. So he sort of says, don't announce it to everybody. So I had to kind of,
All right.
Yeah, so they're still in. So they're still on the back of that sort of persona non grata. And then 2007, we were holiday to LA. The Eagles opened the Nokia Theatre.
Okay.
And the Dixie Chicks were supporting for that gig.
Wow.
So
that's an amazing double.
Stellar lineup, yeah. And again, like in a theatre, I know it's a big theatre, but to see that sort of lineup in a theatre. And I remember there, because the Dixie Chicks started late, and Natalie said, like, only in LA will people turn up late when they paid like $250, $250 for a show. So, so actually, the concert was delayed because everybody wasn't in the theater because everybody was arriving late. So
crazy.
But a great lineup. And I've seen them a few times in the UK because they toured a couple of times in the UK. They're still popular here, but just great band, great catalog. And this is Lubbock or Leave It. So just about. The sort of, again, she's kind of persona non grata in Lubbock, which I think is where she comes from as well. So it's kind of a commentary on that.
All right. Yeah. Lubbock or Leave It.
International airport, blurry afternoon. Paris, Texas, Athens, Georgia's.
Yeah, they rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
They're back touring again in the US, so hopefully they'll come across to the UK. But great band. Definitely great band to see.
What band do you think you've seen the most times?
Paul Weller. Paul Weller by a mile.
Okay.
So I first saw The Jam 1982, and then I saw he had Style Council, so I saw them a couple of times. And then when he went solo, me and my friend would basically go to every tour since like 1991. So that's going to be into the 30s. So he's a sort of the one by a mile. And then probably Kiss maybe would be next, I think. Paul Weller's definitely a long way ahead.
And Paul Weller then he's your favorite then?
Yeah. So because back when I was growing up, he was like the guy that everybody wanted to be in the UK because he was just like Mr. Cool. He had the fashion and it was like basically everybody wanted to be Paul Weller kind of thing. So yeah. And the thing is, he's still recording new music. So he's not relying on his back catalogue, so he's still kind of, there's a tour, he plays new songs, and people still go along who think they're going to get the Jam and, the band from 40 years ago, and they're always disappointed, but he's always done that. So it's just,
For me, that would be like when I go see Todd Rundgren, people think he's just going to play all his popular songs, and he doesn't. Yeah. So it's Jackson Browne's like that too. He'll play a few, but then he's playing the new stuff and whatever he wants to play. And if you don't know that, sorry, but for big fans, like you're a big fan of Paul Weller, you probably love when he's playing whatever.
Yeah. So I saw him at Edinburgh Castle because they have a thing called the Tattoo, which is like a military big show with like the pipes and all that sort of thing. So when they put the seats up, they have concerts sort of a week or two before. And it was absolutely Scotland in August. It was absolutely Baltic cold. It was like rain and grey. So as I say, UK, you can't rely on. It was still a good show, but you were like, you were cold and wet, and watching Paul Weller through the mist with the castle. I mean, fantastic setting, the castle behind them, sort of thing. But
that's excellent.
We can't rely on the weather.
We're going to talk about Paul Weller in a little bit. I kind of jumped ahead because I forgot that was. Well, I asked you a question that I didn't know the answer to. So, but let's jump into the Eagles, who the Chicks opened for. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so the 2005, this was the same as the Aerosmith. So I did a crazy thing. So I flew to Boston, I saw Aerosmith, then I flew to Las Vegas, I saw Def Leppard, and then I drove to LA to see the Eagles at the Staples Center.
Yes.
And then I drove back overnight to Vegas to then do the reverse trip home. So it was this was that free flight one. So
And were you by yourself for this trip?
Yeah. That was by myself. Yeah. So because I like travel, so it's always an experience. And that was interesting because I went to the airport in Vegas and the flight I was supposed to get was cancelled, and because it was cancelled, I missed my flight from Boston back to the UK. So I was basically stranded in Boston. So I had to like find a hotel and then find another flight. So I had to stay. So I went to like one of those telephone. That was when you had like a telephone that had like an internet screen. So I was on this internet screen in Logan Airport trying to like find a hotel and everything. And because they were separate flights, I couldn't like sort of say I need to get a flight because it was, they were separate legs basically. So the fact that I'd missed the flight to coming in, it was like, well, you missed the flight sort of thing. So that was eventful. And driving back overnight on the back of the the 8 hours time difference, I was like just about falling asleep.
let me ask you, when you plan a trip like this by yourself, you're flying to the States, you're gonna drive, you're gonna see a couple of shows. do you have to clear this with Mrs. Beresford, right?
Yeah. Because The problem was she had like fixed holidays, so she could really take holidays at certain times, whereas my holidays, I could take them anytime. And because I flew for work, I had the business card, so I could kind of get good deals and things like that. So yeah, it was just I just looked and sort of thought, well, yeah, I'll take a trip sort of thing. But I remember the LA show, David Spade was there, so I saw him like walking up the aisle when I was
nice.
So I was star spotting. But yeah, I was at the side where Joe Walsh was. Again, you can just watch Joe Walsh because he's just a crazy guy. He's just so funny. But you know, again, the catalogue. And then 2007, as I said, that was the Nokia Theatre opening. And the funny thing is, I've only ever seen two bands cock up a song, and one of them was the Eagles. So they about five songs in, they started the song. And then, like, Henley was like, you know, you're playing the wrong song. maybe the drummer or the bass. So, like, yeah, that stopped the song and then start again. And then the other one was The Who. I saw The Who in Glasgow. And they were going to do Bellboy, but because they had to do the sync with...
Yes, I saw that tour too. Yeah, with Keith.
So they started, and then Roger was like, whoa, he says, this isn't going to work. It's not going to sync to Keith's part, so that to stop. And then so like there are the Who and the Eagles, all the bands I've seen, they're the two bands that have cooked up a song and had to start again. But
I bet great. Don Henley was pissed that night because he's
permanently pissed, isn't he?
Pissed. And then so how long have you been with your wife?
So I've been married 29 years in November, and we've been together 34 years.
All right, that's like so, me and people. Yeah, me and Pilar will be married 28 years, and we've been together, like, I think 31 or 32. And and do you have kids?
No, no kids. Just the dogs were our kids when we were,
For sure.
But I think we've got the good relationship because she doesn't listen to me and I don't listen to her. So, it's the best way, sort of thing, you know.
And as far as your concert going, when she met you, you were already doing this, so she accepted this and knew, well, if I'm going to be with this gentleman, he's going to go off and do his concerts, and that's fine with me.
Not a problem. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Eagles, Already Gone. Great song.
Yeah, great picture, yeah.
Rock in Peace, Glenn Frey, gone way too soon.
And Randy Meisner.
And Randy Meisner,
Yeah.
Crazy. So the next two shows are both Denver 2008, but these two artists didn't play together.
No. So, the first one was The Police. So this was the Red Rocks. So again, this is probably more by chance. So we went... flew to Denver, and then we went down to Colorado City and then drove across to Vegas. That was kind of the holiday. But this was in July, so it was, scorching. Scorching hot. So The Police, they were the first single that I bought, the first album that I bought. So I've always loved The Police. I didn't get a chance to see them, before they split up, because that was sort of really at the start of my kind of gig going. But such an iconic venue, which over here, obviously it's the U2 album. That was like that, and everybody found out about Red Rocks, I think. So, but have you been to Red Rocks?
I have not. I would love to. I'm always toying with the idea of finding a show and then trying to get Rock Solid listeners, all, a bunch of us to like meet there and go to a show there. Yeah. That would be fun. So it's just going to take a little planning and figure out, where and when and how many months out we need for people to plan it. But yeah, I would love to go to Red Rocks.
So this is one of the few shows that I bought the online ticket sale sort of thing. So I paid way over the odds for this because it was sold out, and we were like almost in the back row but it was still, we like looking at Denver skyline, so it was just it wasn't a bad view. But the trouble is, you have to walk up from the car park in the thin air. So by the time you get to the top of the all the auditorium seating, you're like, as if you'd be like walking up Everest sort of thing. So you've got
you've got
to kind of bear that in mind. And the support act, so it was a good bill. It was Elvis Costello was the support act.
Wow, so fantastic. That
was and yeah, but as I say, the Police, it was just fantastic. And then Sting played, you just went to see Sting recently,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
So he played at a place, Bamborough Castle. So we've got like Northumberland, we've got all these castles because we had to try and keep the Scots out. So Bamborough Castle is actually, it's been in quite a few Hollywood movies. And this local charity, they just on the off chance, they said, like, would Sting come and do a concert to like raise some money for us? And he agreed, which is just pretty amazing. So he played like in the Grand Hall of Bamborough Castle. So he had like all the swords and all the, you know, because this is like a 12th century castle. Just him solo acoustic. And that was about 8 years ago. And I mean, the ticket was like £150, but I'm not going to miss the chance to see Sting up close. And
So
he talked about the songs, you know, how the backstory on the song sort of thing. So yeah, it was great. Just great to sort of, it was just so weird to see Sting. And the great thing was, I think the day before he'd been in Moscow. So he played this massive gig in Moscow, flew across to the UK. Cause he's obviously from Newcastle. It actually, when he got his first marriage, he went to Bamborough for his honeymoon. He had like one night in a hotel in Bamborough. Cause they didn't have any money, you know, back when he was a teacher sort of thing. So That was in his book, so he sort of took him back into that as well. Then he went to Newcastle on the Saturday, so he went to the football, and then he went to the place that he used to play in Last Exit and all this kind of thing. It was a bit of a sort of, you know, hometown tour, and then he disappeared back to like the south of France or somewhere. But yeah, it was just great. And they say the Police just love them. Yeah, great band.
And I saw them, I got to see them on Ghost in the Machine tour, and then I didn't see them again until the reunion tour. And so many people always tell me that they weren't good on the reunion tour. And I'm like, that's just not true. They were great. No. They were great.
I've got the Blu-ray, which was it Argentina or somewhere? Or
yeah, I have that. Yeah,
South American tour. Yeah, no, I didn't notice if they were bad. But
I
don't think so.
And I don't think so either. And then you talk about Kenny Aronoff as a great drummer. Stuart Copeland.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
Ow.
Yeah. And he just did a talking tour on the back of his book. So I went to see that at Whitley Bay, which is just outside Newcastle. And you know, you know this. The great thing about Stuart is you just like say seven words, and he just talks for like 15 minutes. So like the person interviewing had the easiest gig going because she would just say like, tell us about Lebanon or something, you know, tell us about when you were a roadie. But he could have talked for like 4 hours, I think. But he's just it's just so engaging. Great guy, great drummer. And he's done so many things as well that people probably aren't aware of, all these kind of orchestra things and soundtrack And obviously the him and Sting, the kind of fighting thing was it's fun. You know, there's a good video on YouTube where it's like all the times that like Stuart kind of pissed off Sting when they were like getting interviews. He was like, you know, like slap up, and obviously they had the one where they ended up fighting on the ground. I think it was at Shea Stadium or something.
What was I going to say? Something about Stuart Copeland? Did it just leave my brain? I think it left my brain. Oh, I know. Which book was he promoting this time? Because I have a bunch of books that he's done.
It was sort of like it wasn't like a full in-depth biography. It was just kind of a sort of like illustrated, and I can't remember. I didn't get like signed or anything because I think they did the kind of, you know, they did the what do they call the VIP thing, but which I'm not paying that for that sort of thing.
That's too much.
But if you ever get a chance, his brother's book's a great book. Miles Copeland's a great book to read.
Oh, good.
He's talking about because the thing was, you had one brother was like a booking agent, one drummer was the manager of a record label, and then Stuart was the, obviously, the musician, so he had that all the call on, great band.
The Copeland Brothers. Okay, this song is great too, and I love the album Zenyatta Mandata. This is Man in a Suitcase.
It looks like home to me.
Love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah, that used to be my theme tune because, see, I traveled a lot for work and it was like, you know, you end up in all the same hotel rooms and all that sort of thing. And yeah, just always on the move. But yeah, good tune.
All right, coming up next, 2008 in Denver, you also see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, so my wife came along to this one, but it was probably about 35 degrees in the blazing sun. This is the Mile High Festival, which I think it ran for a couple of years in Denver.
Okay.
So it was it where the football team plays, I think, at Dick Sporting Goods Arena or something. That was it. outdoor gig, but like a couple of stages. So Steve Winwood was on the bill that day as well. So he played before Tom.
Wow.
But it was just scorching hot. Because the trouble with Tom was he never played the UK really for years and years. You know, I think when he first came out, he did some tours over here, but then he never really came back, or he'd maybe come and do one show, like a big show somewhere. So it was a great chance to see him there. And I think that was the day after we arrived as well. So it was like the sleep deprivation and all that sort of thing. So it was a bit of, I think we were kind of glad to get home, sort of back to the hotel afterwards. But again, it was, I think the next night it was Dave Matthews Band or something where they were playing as well. But yeah, I just remember the burning sun and, getting fleeced for buying water because it was like, you know, $10 for a bottle of water or something like that.
That's just ridiculous. But, what are you doing, people?
Yeah, I just saw, so we have a Tom Petty tribute in the UK, so I just went to see them a couple of weeks back, and they were really good. And the guy kind of dresses up as Tom, so I know there's a bit of a debate about tribute bands. Should they dress up or should they just play the songs? But so this band kind of did the image as well, but yeah, he's obviously a big fan, so because he was really into all the tunes sort of thing, so... Yeah, so, but shame topped.
Yeah, it's Tom Petty. That was a rough loss, but man, we need Tom Petty right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And the song you chose is Running Down a Dream.
Running Down a Dream, a bit of a rocker, yeah, yeah.
Okay, another fun question, Ian. Is there any artist that you hate so much that even if I gave you free front row tickets, you would not go?
I mean, unless it was like one of these really heavy death metal kind of, something that was like a total noise. I can't think of, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, you'll go to anything then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's I mean, like I say, I went to see like Glenn Campbell one night, and then I went to see Motley Crue the next. Sort of thing. So I've had a few flips. But
that's a lot. Yeah, that's
I think
a big
it was
change.
Just yes. Something's kind of really, you know, yeah. These, well, you know, those guys that do that kind of the sing, and then they just go all that sort of, you know, death. Norwegian death metal or something like that.
Yeah, but that's not my thing either.
Yeah, no, I would give most things a go. Yeah, I think I would give most things a go.
All right. Yeah. Well, this the next artist, these guys can definitely sing.
Yeah. Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah, so on the back of those, so as I say, I did a work trip 2005, then I went back in 2006, and the guy that I was working with, so then I went on holiday with my wife 2009, so we stayed with them in Melbourne. And they organized tickets, so we all went to see Simon Garfunkel at the Rod Laver Arena, you know, the tennis.
Yeah.
Tennis. So obviously they opened the roof for the tennis and closed the roof for the concerts. And so that was, well, Simon and Garfunkel, again, they've just got a fantastic, you know, catalogue. And that was when they could still sing. I'm not so sure if sort of Paul Simon's still touring, I think, but I'm not so sure if he's still got the chops. But again, it's just, you know, all their catalogue is just, you know, something else. But one of the annoying things, which is you get at gigs, so there was this lady behind who was like singing along to like Simon and Garfunkel, and I sort of says, you know, we didn't pay $100 to listen to you six. Why people think that, you know, they can sing along at a concert when it's, but...
I know.
You get all sorts of gigs these now, yeah. But I'm a bit like you, because I know you always seem to end up with like some kind of psycho when you go to some of these gigs.
Yeah, all the time.
I'm like that. It's like you always end up with the people that are talking, or you end up with a drunk guy. It's like they almost seem to like navigate towards me. So I try and get into the corner somewhere in front of the sound desk, but it's just...
It's the worst when you have someone like that by you, like when the drunk guy or the psycho or whatever. It's just like, you know, and there's been so many times that I've told like security, hey, this guy's out of control. And then they don't even do anything. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I don't know why people get drunk to go to a concert. It's like, so why would you just forget the concert? You know, it's just, but
I mean, I've had a drink at a concert, but I've never been drunk at a concert. Yeah. Never.
I went to see Rod, my wife, I went to see Rod Stewart about 20 years ago in Glasgow. And obviously, you know, they like the drink in Glasgow. And there were people there, like the women that were screaming their heads off. And, you know, with all the... It just didn't go, just... oh,
just silly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So Simon and Garfunkel, obviously, this was the reunion tour. I also saw the reunion tour. When they played in the States, they brought out the Everly Brothers in the middle for a couple songs. Did that happen where in Melbourne also?
No, I don't think so. No, okay. No, yeah. Too much to fly them there, I guess.
I guess so. Here's Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. Tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping, home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for. Every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines.
Mm. Yeah, what a great catalog. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, we've made it. We've made it to your number one.
Paul Weller, yeah. So as I say, I've seen them. I must have seen them over 30 times, if not more. But... Yeah, 2012. So again, I kind of managed to wangle a holiday itinerary that sort of fitted in with Paul playing dates in the US. Because obviously in the US, he's only playing like 1,000 capacity places sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think most of the people that go are like expats. He does have some American fans, but I think a lot of the people that go are like expats. So he played, Cleveland, that was the House of Blues. Detroit was the Victoria Hall, which was downtown, and then Minneapolis, as I say. So I stayed with again one of my work colleagues from General Mills. So that was just a theater down the road, and I remember in Detroit because the Jam recorded Heatwave, the Motown song, and he sort of like said, "Oh well, we're in Detroit, we have to play this song, even though I've never played it for like 40 years or something." So they kind of crashed into that song, and that was one of the trips. Where, you know, your licensing laws in the US are pretty crazy, so I had to get like a wristband to be able to buy a drink in the venue. And of course, I only had my UK driving license, and the guy was like, "What's, you know, what the hell is this guy?" sort of thing. And I'm like, "Well, I think I'm obviously over whatever 21 or something." But it was like, yeah, it was a bit of a debate at the door.
Wow.
Sort of thing. You just think, yeah. So yeah, you know, we can go and get a gun, but you can't get a beer.
Right. Yeah, you can't have a drink.
Yeah. So I had like 3 wristbands. I had like wristband to get in, wristband for the drink, and yeah. But it's just, yeah, crazy. And so I think Paul's still too. He still does play dates in the US, but he ties them in maybe with festivals and things like that. But he's, you know, he's never been a big artist in the US, because I think his early stuff, he was sort of like social commentary and political, which is, again, is not really something that resonates outside the, you know, the UK and that sort
right.
of thing. But so he's still doing it. So this song's called Sea Spray. And I think he sort of talks about, we all come from the sea, effectively, if you think about evolution and sort of thing. So he sort of said that, you know, we all have an affinity with the sea sort of thing. So this was kind of the sort of thinking behind the song. So it's a, yeah, it's just an album track. It's not like one that a lot of people know, but it's a good song.
All right, here we go. Sea Spray.
Carry me home, carry me home, you old sea spray. Carry me home, carry me home, you old sea spray. Like the million stars before you, you shine through the strictest curfew. Not listening to the rules of no one, just want to let on one. Can you never see?
Oh, wow. I like that a lot.
Yeah. It's a catchy tune. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. What album is that on?
I think it's a 22 Dreams, I think. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I still buy his albums, but to be honest, I don't really listen to them that much. I'm still kind of, you know, I listen to the sort of the classic ones that he's brought.
Right.
But it's
no, series, I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's 22 Dreams, yeah. That was the other topic I was thinking about, but I thought nobody's going to want to listen to like 30 Paul Weller songs. So. I could have thought, yeah, talked about a lot of that, because, you know, he's got, well, as I say, he's been going, he's actually 50 years next year since the first album, his first album came out, which is just crazy, you know.
That is crazy. Yeah, I was just listening to the Ramones' first album today. That's 50 years old, so.
Yeah. Yeah, 76 is obviously the Eagles. Was one of these nights? Was that 76 or was that 75?
I think Hotel California is 76.
76, yeah.
All right. Ian, thank you so much for being such a wonderful supporter of the show. I always look forward to hearing your intros and what song you're going to choose for our Patreon episodes every month, because it's always something that no one else is choosing. And, you know, it introduces people to music that you are fond of, and I just love it. And you knocked it out. Go ahead.
No, I do try and think of songs that maybe people might not have heard, sort of thing, or artists that people might not have heard. So, yeah, so I always try and think of something a bit different. So, yeah, but they're good. It's just good, you know, the variation you get on those episodes as well. People,
yeah, it's fun. It's fun for sure. And thank you for being a Patreon supporter all these years.
Yeah.
And everyone, you can follow us at Rock Solid Show on Instagram and at Rock Solid Podcast on Blue Sky. And Ian, where can we find you on the social media? What, you want to give your handle out? People can follow.
Well, so I'm just Ian Beresford on Facebook, and I've actually got quite a few Rock Solid guys on my Facebook, because I think obviously they think you've got a bit of a community, aren't you?
Yes.
And everybody in the community is not like kind of, I'm not saying psycho, but they're sort of like everybody's of a similar mind sort of thing, I would say.
Yeah, it's a good group of people.
Yeah, so I don't think anybody upsets each other within the Rock Solid group.
No.
I'm on Instagram. Actually, my handle is Gene Simmons Tongue.
Yes, it is.
If you remember the magazine that Gene brought out way back in, I don't know, 2000 or something like that. So I kind of picked up that, yeah. And I know you don't do Twitter now, but I'm still on there. So I'm Mr. Peevely, who was the guy that was in the Hair Bear Bunch, if you really remember that show from way back when. So that was, yeah, Mr. Peevely. So I'm kind of keeps under wraps on Twitter, sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm under wraps on Twitter too. with that, we're going to close it out with a band that you saw in, let me look at my notes, in Las Vegas, 2005, Def Leppard. Yeah. This song was on your short list. Go ahead. You want to talk about that show?
So that was the in between Aerosmith and the Eagles. So that was at the Hard Rock venue in Vegas. And one of the things I remember about that, there was like a massive fight broke out for some reason. So somebody like pushed into somebody and then spilt their drink. And then it was like, yeah, oh, so yeah. Because wow. I've been quite lucky in the UK. I haven't really seen many fights and gigs. I was at NXS on the Kick tour, and there was a fight started there, and like Michael Hutchins stopped the show and said, like, you know, everybody sort of calm down, sort of thing. But and I've seen obviously Def Leppard quite a lot in the UK. So I love Def Leppard's way up on my favorite band list as well. So
yeah, I love them too. So Everyone, thank you, Ian Beresford, and everyone, please enjoy Hello, America. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.